All right, people, welcome back to Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour, here with your host, Chris Story. As always, guys, few things to touch base on before we kick off today's episode. The first is the feedback that I'm continuously getting off you guys. I'm loving it, guys. Literally everything that you give back to me, any words of advice, words of encouragement, guest ideas, just any feedback in general, so much appreciated at this stage of the podcast and where I'm at with, just how I'm getting after it. Literally, I'm putting in the time to be able to get you guys the best podcast that I can. I'm really trying to get the good guests on that can break down important aspects of the Primal Alchemy brand and philosophy, but within their own niche and specialty. So hopefully you guys are appreciating it. And if so, please just drop me a review. Give me a review on, I believe, Apple Podcasts. I believe that's what it is now. It's not, I don't know if it's on iTunes. I don't know if anyone's using iTunes nowadays. I've got an Android phone, so I'm not really too sure what the scene is on Apple. Again, if someone wants to tell me that, that'd be great. And if you can leave me a review, iTunes is the main one because that allows me to have the most exposure and visibility when sort of pushing this podcast out to a wider audience. And if you do so, guys, and you take a screenshot from me, I'll give you an exclusive 15% discount code for primalalchemy.co.uk. So yeah, please, that would be great. And if not, guys, if that's too much for you and you're like, fuck it, man, I don't give a shit, I just want to listen to the podcast, well, I'm still being pretty generous here. I'll give you a 10% discount code just for listening and giving me some of your time of your day. So the code's Red Pill. That's the code Red Pill. That when added to the discount section within checkout, you'll get 10% off anything within your shopping basket. So that can be the Vitruvian protein. That's our organic whey protein superfood blend. It's got adaptogenic herbs, nootropic herbs. It's keto, paleo certified, made in the UK to the highest standards. I source all the ingredients myself. Any purchases made from the Primal Alchemy website as well, you're also contributing to the Woke as Fuck initiative. One part of that is going to be the charity donations. We donate a percentage of our sales to Vitamin Angels. That's an NGO, an American NGO that work with malnourished children and families around the world, giving them sort of real life-saving vitamin support. So that's a charity that I've always wanted to work with. Right from when I first found out about them, and now I run my own business where I can help them, and you guys are directly helping them through helping me help them. So yeah, it really means the world to me. And yeah, guys, so check it out, primalalchemy.co.uk. Check what we can do for you, and if you've got any questions, give me a shout, and I'll be more than happy to have a good work, have a good talk with you. But anyway, so moving on to today's episode. Today's guest is Miss Busy Gold. Busy is a US-based entrepreneur. She is a wellness expert, motivational speaker, and the full shazam, really. She's actually so impressive when you actually look at her resume and what she's doing. Not so much what she's done in the past, but what she's doing now. I mean, she's ran multiple businesses. She's founded Bhuti Yoga, Golden Ratio Nutrition. She's now doing a lot more sort of coaching, I believe. She just released her latest program called the Break Method. I so believe so. But yeah, we had a really interesting chat, and it was actually interesting because I got her on the podcast originally to discuss, I wanted her to be able to discuss the divine feminine with her and just a lot of aspects of women, like business women and being spiritual but business orientated, just a lot of concepts like that. And well, shit, this conversation went to literally from 0 to 100 very quickly. Very fucking quickly. Yeah, so we this conversation you're gonna see when you're listening to it, there is a distinct tangent with halfway through where me and her suddenly just lock that, oh shit, so you're into the deep stuff as well. And then we go pretty deep. We talk about a lot of conspiratorial truther topics, which if you're not familiar with, we don't bring you no middle ground or time to adapt from taking you to the shadow end to the deep end very quickly. And hopefully you guys enjoy it. It's fun. Like, although conspiracies have a lot of truth in them, there is something about them which is fun. And it's in, for many aspects, that's, I think that's important. It's important for you guys to enjoy the information that you're listening to so that you can, yeah, research it more, get and understand it more and how it's affecting you. Like, you know, with this podcast, physical, mental, spiritual optimization. And there's a lot of forces at play that stop us from really fulfilling our destiny and allowing us to be able to pursue a life of self-mastery, self-actualization, your hero's journey. And the rabbit hole is very deep, guys. And it was great to have this talk with Busy, where we both realized, about half an hour in or so, might even been before, that we're very similar-minded in how we think and what we have researched to get us to where we are to today. And I think you guys are going to enjoy this one. So yeah, definitely a blast. Let's get ready for it, guys. This time you really are getting the red pill. And sit back and enjoy. And it's time to get woke as fuck, guys. Morpheus, tell these fools what's up.
You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
As above, so below. What lies without resides within. Time for growth to begin. Mental, physical, and spiritual. We find balance with all three as we focus on totality. The whole, not the half. This is for those on a spiritual path. Looking for the clues to the answers of life. But the truth ain't always nice, so leave your ego at the door. Let your inner lion roar and your spirit soar. As we go deep down to the molecular level, tap into the body with some yogic breath. Throw in some calisthenics for a true strength test. Like the shamans of old, we use the nature to heal. With a little bit of DMT to reveal. This whole life journey is a little surreal. And your mind needs a leader, not a follower in life. Let your mind be the master and you pay a hefty price. This next 60 minutes is about self mastery. It's not an easy path and it's a lifelong journey, but we up to empower with this red pill initiation hour. With this red pill initiation hour, brought to you by Primer Open Me.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
And we are live. Oh shit, guys, it's episode 24 of the Red Pill Initiation Hour. So, another amazing episode coming up for you guys. Really gonna like this one. I reached out to this guest a while ago, been a big fan of hers for a while, watched her work, watched her grow, and she really is starting to make some waves over in the US now, which is great to see. Another sort of conscious, awoken individual that's putting in the work, putting out a good message, and really helping others become the best version of themselves, which is what this game is all about. So, I just want to give you a massive warm welcome to Miss Busy Gold. Thanks for coming on, Busy.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here, and I'm going to be rocking my Dirty Martini voice. I was had a weekend in Nashville leading a group, and I think I was just very excited, so I screamed a lot, and then I also went and sang karaoke, so we're just going to go Dirty Martini voice today. I don't usually sound quite this low and bassy, but it's where we're at.
Nah, a little bit of huskiness, it's cool. I know that Nashville can be a wild time. I was in the States last year, and I drove across from East Coast to West Coast, and we had a little pit stop in Nashville, so I know that there's a few parties going on there, so I don't blame you. And Busy, so for everyone that's not familiar with who you are and what you're about, can you give us a little bit of a rundown on who is Busy Gold and what is she about?
Well, that's been obviously an evolution, especially since my life has been a bit more of the front-facing type. I started off in business, primarily in the yoga industry. I ended up I feel like, you know, once you get to a certain point and you look backwards retrospectively at your life, you start to see a lot of things make sense where in the moments themselves, you were like, how did I get here? Is this all some big cosmic joke? Is this an accident? Because I somehow navigated my way from being a fashion publicist in Los Angeles to accidentally founding a yoga style and then accidentally becoming a celebrity trainer. And really all of these kind of little happy twists and turns all make sense now, but in the moment it all seemed very odd and unrelated. So one of the things that's clear for me is that, I mean, it's been this way since I was a little kid. My dad used to refer to me as the Oracle because he'd bring me around a lot of his older friends that we were kind of, my parents got divorced early. We were just best friends. My dad and I always kind of vibed and got along with each other. And I would be around some of his older friends and they would be having conversations that were clearly like way above my age appropriate depth. And I would just start inserting myself in conversations, answering questions. And they'd look at my dad and be like, your daughter's so curious. How does she even understand the stuff that she's talking about? And he was like, oh, she must be making it up. And they're like, no, she's not making it up. Her answers are real. So my dad and I started to kind of develop this thing where you could tell that he was kind of freaked out by it, but also was like, how do you know all this stuff? And I would just very simply say to my dad, when people ask me questions, I hear the answer in my head. So I've kind of had this almost clairaudience thing since I was little, where I will literally hear, it's somewhere between hearing and seeing the sentence that has to be delivered. And then in time, I would start to kind of see, especially in my dream state, where my business is or where my life was going to go, sometimes like 4 or 5 years out, but I would see it complete. And then it would be up to me to go back and reverse engineer how the hell I get from where I am now to where I'm going. So when I think about like what I'm known for now, it's ironic, but what I'm most known for now is definitely my lecturing on consciousness and emotional repatterning. And frankly, the last year of my life has taken like a huge turn where I think I've stepped the most authentically into who I am and what I'm here to do. And there have been so many people that are clearly triggered by what I'm saying that it's also been like the most hatred I've ever received. So ironically, now I'm kind of like known for this almost like in between space of consciousness and politics and how we can navigate through to kind of a new architecture of how we experience politics and governing ourselves in a way that hopefully starts to cut some ties with some of these really toxic, corporations, structures, media influence, all of it. And, you know, I feel like I never really thought of myself as a radical, but for sure in the last like 6 months, people have been treating me like my ideas are radical. And like, if I think about myself, I will be walking on the street, and obviously I travel a lot for work. I'll be walking on the street. I've never been afraid to go talk to a homeless person, talk to the gangsters on the side of the street that I think anyone else would try to like go the other way. I'm like always out on the street having the conversations, trusting that the universe is going to have my back as long as I also have the universe's back. So I feel like my message and what I always try to speak on is that of like genuine consciousness and compassion for everybody and how detrimental it is for us to get really stifled by labels and groupthink and turned against each other in division, which to me is a message of like love and hope for where we can go. But instead I've gotten called everything from like a racist to a Nazi because of it, which makes absolutely no sense. But I think that's just kind of the inversion place that we're in right now as a society. So, you know, for me, when I kind of see things out, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years, and I promise this is going to dial back to a place that makes sense. I was living in Malibu. I was training a bunch of celebrities. My yoga business was really starting to take off. And I remember one day just starting to hear like what used to be like kind of one sentence answers. All of a sudden I was like, I could literally hear like whole books of narration. And I remember looking at my husband, and my son at the time was probably like 1.5 or so. And my daughter, my daughter now is almost 9. So she was like a few years older than him. And I remember just looking at him being like, hey babe, I don't know what's happening to me, but I've been hearing this narration. And like, if I don't start writing it down, like there's part of me feels like you know, when you have a really good thought and you want to write it down because you don't want to forget it, it was somewhere between like that anxiety of not wanting to forget it, but also this like anxiety about what would happen to me if I didn't actually write it down. Like it almost was this kind of cycle of like, it had that much level of importance. So I kind of just looked at my husband and I was like, I need you to have my back on this one. I don't know what's going to happen. Hey, maybe I end up in the psych ward, in which case, like, great knowing you. Take care of the kids. I love them a lot. And he just kind of let me go in my room and do my thing for a few days. And what ended up coming out is really the work that I do now. And in mixed with all of that, I also, in my sleep, saw these other three companies that I would found. And, you know, companies might not even be the right word, because I think some of them are really like movements, like social movements, but more based on like the name, the intention. I would see what the logo looked like. And at that moment, there was one night when I saw basically all that's coming to fruition in my life right now. And this was like December of 2014. And literally like clockwork, every single thing that I saw then that I wrote down, that I like bought all the IP for, that I bought all the website domains, literally in the last like 6 weeks, all of it's come to fruition. But it's been a really incredibly rough time in my life, because you go from, you know, I like kind of came up in the yoga industry, which again, accidental, but that's just kind of how it went. And I think in the yoga industry, you get a lot of people that think that they're very spiritually elevated and that they're, you know, like loving and compassionate. And then when you really dig down and they're like, it's very ego-based, it's very competitive. And a lot of people are either kind of leaning into like spiritual escapism or like really, it's almost, and I taught about this. I was teaching at an event at 1440 Multiversity in Santa Cruz like 2 weeks ago. It's almost become cool now to be a social justice warrior, like whatever it's almost like clothing, like whatever the cool social justice topic is, you have to align with that, otherwise they're going to throw you into some camp of, again, like being a Nazi or a racist or whatever. Like I'm a blonde Jew from New York and I've gotten called all of those things. So I just feel like that's a scary ass place for us to be. Like instead of like, you know, now everyone's wearing skinny jeans, now it's like if you don't say a certain thing or like back up a certain thing on some like intersectional like social justice topic, then you're gonna get cast aside. And I feel like the yoga industry is very much in that way of thinking, so it's kind of ironic that I came up through that and now I'm kind of dealing with this fracturing of like, how can I be myself, be authentic, and do the work that I know critically needs to be done while also kind of clearly navigating the hatred and attacks I'm now getting for just trying to get people to think for themselves and support and love one another.
Yeah, it's all part of the hero's journey though, Busy. It's all part of the experience. You got to go through these trials and tribulations. You got to face these confrontations with previous identities that you associated yourself with. And it's interesting, I totally agree with you to do with when you're talking about the yoga industry or just even the you can even call it the conscious community as a whole. There is a lot of superficial spirituality attached to it that people like the tag. They like to post on Instagram some woke as fuck woke as fuck content where it makes them out to be more than what they are or more than what they truly embody. Mm-hmm. And I personally find it pretty infuriating, but that's something that I've come to sort of really, the lesson that I've learned is like, it's triggering me. So why is it triggering me? Is it triggering me in some aspect of myself, in that am I the real deal, like I believe I am, when it comes to this sort of spiritual pursuit? Or what is it about their actions that's getting to me? And you definitely know it more because you've grew up in the yoga industry, but it's just something that I can see from an outside perspective that it's pretty apparent. Anyone who is an authentic sort of soul, they can see through that bullshit straight up. And it's a little bit different here in the UK, to be honest. We're the US is it's much more in your face, and there's much more of an industry. The UK, we're still behind, so we're in 10 years down the line or so, we're probably going to be at the stage where we're going to be having those sort of that big sort of yoga industry that's full of the uh the wannabes. But yeah, I find your story really interesting about saying that you're growing up and you're like kind of like a clairaudient. Yeah, and you felt like you had the answers to what were being asked, and almost as if like you were channeling something from an external source, like you were tapping into like the informational field around you, and it was just, yeah, on tap for you.
Well, and the funny thing is, I think I talk about this quite a bit, that I think, you know, I think humanity does have these gifts, and that there is an external force, and we don't have to get too much into it if you don't want to get into it.
Let's get into it. I love this shit, Busy. We can go in on this.
So I gave a lecture maybe 6 months ago called Media, Politics, and Religion, the Ultimate Gaslighting Experience. And really the overarching topic is, we are clearly, humanity is in a toxic relationship with someone or something. And it can be seen through how our food's being poisoned, how our skies are being sprayed, what they're trying to get us to inject into our babies, our learning disability rates, mental health rates, just like astronomically growing, or mental health issues astronomically growing. We're on the decline. Like, I think they keep trying to say that it's like, it's gun violence, it's this, it's, you know, it's all these people fighting, it's racism. We're literally being turned crazy right now. And you can see it if you actually dig into the data. And it's very actually clear if you're willing to do the research and go against the grain to figure out why we're going crazy. It's being done to us. And when your consciousness drops down like that, and you go to that kind of low frequency, low vibration, you, of course, like, you're not, all of your spiritual gifts go away, your consciousness starts to diminish, your problem solving skills go away, you get physically ill, all of that fine line of, obviously I haven't necessarily listened to this podcast before, and to be honest, right when we got on, I pulled it up on iTunes, and I was like, oh shit, I need to listen to this podcast. So I wasn't really even sure like how deep into the stuff we can go, but you know, again, to kind of circle back, I believe that all human beings, we actually have a level of consciousness available to us that is much, much more vast than we currently think that it is. And that over time, we've had that consciousness kind of chipped away. That's why we can't use the majority of our brain power. That's why so many of us are sick and are mentally ill. That's why so many of us have learning disabilities and autism. That is something that is being forced upon us externally. But many of us are tricked into believing that we're doing the right thing. That's what keeps us healthy. That's what keeps, you know, that's what keeps this part of the world going. Like, this is how you feed large groups of people. Well, there are consequences for that. And our consciousness is on the rapid decline. And when our consciousness is on the rapid decline, and we have, you know, the symptoms of that, which are like, you know, physical violence and rioting and, you know, people being able to be easily manipulated toward each other. Of course, then you look toward government, you're like, government, save us. Ironically, like, what if that's exactly what's making you do this, so that you then looked up to government and you're like, government, save us, we need more government. I think that there needs to be a lot more money, and like, you know, we tend to, obviously, like, we're in the US, it's a capitalist-ish society. I think when people really start to dig into what capitalism is, I think a lot of people would find that even though it's kind of pitched as capitalism, it's not really capitalism. There's a lot of the way that the banking systems work behind capitalism that's still meant to not actually make it free market capitalism. So when you just think about like capitalist ideas, which are basically like, you know, any single person, if they have the idea and they can find it within themselves to execute on it, whether that's like bringing in outside capital to invest in them, if they want to run with that idea, they can bring that idea to market. I think if you just kind of take that instead of like this overarching concept of capitalism that clearly has a negative connotation in society right now, if you take the idea of like just that, you know, free market, like isolation of a problem and then coming up with a solution, more of that has to be devoted to how we get ourselves to not be sick, how we get to tap more into our consciousness or spiritual gifts, and really start to, I would think, spend more time and effort figuring out why this is being done to us and who's actually doing it. Because there are organizations that are working on this. I just did an event recently called Waking the Collective, And we brought in some of the top thought leaders that are really trying to go out there and expose some of the stuff. But the problem is that when you go out there and you try to expose it and you try to actually educate people about it, in many cases, like a lot of these people end up dead. You know, there's something out there that does not want us to be able to genuinely tap into who we were meant to be and who we have the capability of being. So to dial it back to this like kind of clear audience, I think no matter what, I think many of us have access to these things, but you know, we start eating unhealthy food and then we start getting inflammation and then, you know, we get vaccinated and then next thing you know, we're dealing with trauma at home. And by that point, you've gotten so far away from what your consciousness could have been by age 10 or 11 that now you're not even seeing your future clearly because you're only seeing it through the wounded lens of everything that's happened to you up to age 10. And then you like throw on more vaccines on top of that, more unhealthy food, media just like constantly pumping these messages of like hate and war and violence. And then of course we have complete, you know, rates of mental illness and learning disabilities on the rise. So I think it's important for us to start to do the work and figure out what toxic relationships that we're in that are gaslighting us into thinking that we're doing something that's healthy when it's the very thing that's actually physically harming us and keeping our consciousness low. Because when we can break through that, and we can actually do the things to heal and repair our bodies so that we don't have mental health issues on the rise and we don't have learning disabilities on the rise and we can actually get our consciousness back, that's when we can start to move more towards self-regulation where we don't need to give all of our power away to government. And I think that's where people get it really twisted up. Like anyone that does any sort of channeling or like deep spiritual work, when you think about like a utopian society, let's like even like if anyone, even like sci-fi geeks, if you think about like some utopian society on another planet that has their shit together, they're not a socialist government. They have their shit together. So they're able to like come to consensus and self-regulate. They don't go giving all of their power away to other people. But right now I feel like that's where people want us to head. And they don't realize that that is just a level of inversion that like, you know, these are all the problems. Now we need to go socialist so that they can solve all of our problems, when like they clearly missed the core message of at least what my middle school curriculum was, which is absolute power corrupts absolutely. So, you know, those things are all, I think, needing some attention right now. And they need to be given attention by people that care about solving those issues above and beyond the here and now, because it's a tricky path to walk. People aren't going to like you. You're probably going to feel scared. People don't like to know the truth. So once you start speaking truth and they inevitably have to walk through cognitive dissonance, they're likely going to want to turn against you in those moments. But the data is there, the research is there, and we just need more people to speak up and actually assimilate that data into a way that people can actually tangibly understand, because it's there. It's not that hard to find.
Yeah, we're living in a very important age, and people may or may not know this because it's so easy to fall into the trap of distraction, of division that's been pretty much like systematically socially engineered for thousands of years. Like this didn't just happen overnight. This power control scheme has been behind the scenes kind of working their tentacles for a long time now, and people don't like to talk about it. People like to put their head in the sand and pretend that everything's going to be okay, but it's not going to be okay. There's some legit malicious shit going on behind the scenes that people are just completely oblivious and clueless about. Like there is World War One, okay, World War Two, it's all important, but what's more important is the overarching war, which is the war on our consciousness. And this has been going on for a long, long time. And all of these other little wars are just distractions to keep us divided and fighting in between ourselves instead of you. Yeah.
In your fear vibration. Like if you really dial everything back, really everything that's being done to us is meant to put us into fear. And I don't know what your belief system is around this, but I genuinely believe that behind, like if we were to just go look at it like a pyramid, like whoever is like really at the top of the top, the very few, for whatever reason, they feed off of our fear. Like fear is some sort of currency to them, which is why all of these things are, at the end of the day, they're meant to keep us directly in fear of each other, fear of going crazy, fear of, you know, fear of literally everything. And I think even the way we're being socialized, and I'll go back to this like whole clear audience thing, you know, my dad a few times would be like, holy shit, Busy, like, how do you know this stuff? And I'd be like, I don't know, daddy, I just like hear it in my head or whatever. You know, there were plenty of times that my, like, my mom's reaction was like, stop lying, and would just start yelling at me. I was like, I'm not, I couldn't, as a child, you don't know the difference, right? Like, if what I'm saying is true, then it's truth. I'm not lying. I'm not sitting here trying to fabricate a story. It's just what I'm hearing. So I'm saying it. And you trust yourself at that point until society teaches you not to trust yourself. So I think that even like the very way that we socialize children and in schools and like the way, you know, collectively, generationally, the socialism, and I don't mean socialism like governmentally, but like how we are socialized to interact with each other, that is all meant to put us back into fear, like fear, guilt, shame, turning against our true core identity, and instead being taught that you need to align with someone else's identity. Like, this group think identity is what's good. Like, you know, as a person of God, like, you don't do this, this, and this. There's all this, you know, kind of descriptions of like what not to do and what to do. And then how do you align? How do you try to align those things with your personality, which is going to have natural ebbs and flows and deviations where like maybe sometimes it'll be a little bit right, sometimes it'll be a little bit left, sometimes it'll be a little bit more toward the center. All you're going to do then is just turn against yourself and be like, well, I guess I must just be a bad person because you're not matching up with these kind of notches that society has told you you have to match up with, which again just puts you back into fear.
Yeah, for sure. It's the fear is the main source of food for these guys on top. That's what they love. They love a little bit of adrenochrome with a sprinkle of fear on top, and that's the same good. For them.
Going there, I wasn't sure how deep I could go with it.
Oh, Busy, trust. Okay. I'm very deep.
Okay, I'm going to grab my whiteboard because one day I wrote all of this out and how it all connects to each other. So hang on, I can see my whiteboard. I'm grabbing and bringing it over.
Go grab it. We're about to go deep on this one, guys. As soon as that adrenochrome gets mentioned, shit, you don't understand that we're just about to tear open this fucking rabbit hole.
Okay, we're going for it. So, and by the way, I'm going to send you a picture. I have like the worst handwriting ever, but I'll send you a picture of what this board looks like. But so remember how I was telling you that I'll like kind of see stuff in dream state or, you know, whatever it is that you want to think of it. I'll get very clear pictures, words, things like that. In fact, a lot of the lecture content that I give, the way that I come up with the lecture content is I actually watch myself give the lecture in my sleep, and then I go back and I recreate the lecture slides that I just watched. So, and that's the way all my lecture content is. I never know what I'm going to teach about until literally the night before. And then in my sleep, I see myself give the lecture, like visuals and everything, and then I go back and I actually create the lecture that I just watched. So,
shit.
This happened in that very same way. And this was actually, this was long before. Have you ever seen the Great Awakening map and then the Q web?
Yeah, I've got Dylan Monroe coming on the podcast in March.
Okay, Dylan's epic. He was just at my event. I love
him. I've seen him. And Robin Ben from Edge of Wonder. I want to get Robin Ben on as well.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they'll come on. They're all fantastic. We've got a group chat on the cell phone, and you're gonna want to connect with Billy Carson too. We all nicknamed him Sky Daddy at the lecture.
No forbidden knowledge. Yep. I've been trying to find a way to get in contact with Billy. He's got no point of contact.
Oh, I will ask him if I can share his number with you. I'm sure.
Yes. Thanks, Busy.
Billy's dope. You're gonna love him. Okay. So before I ever even knew about any of those maps, one day I just came in and started drawing what I saw. So the way I drew it, just for everyone that's listening, so one aspect of it is timeline, right? And the way I drew the very top of it was based on a future event, right? Where to me, we either overcome and do all the things we've been talking about, and we're somehow able to squash these guys that are feeding off of our fear, which, you know, reptilians, Draco reptilians, whatever entity you want to call it, there is some entity that is and has been a part of this world for a long time that feeds off of fear, adrenochrome, all of that. They're kind of, let's say that they're up at the very top left, and we're going to just kind of give them a name, Bad ET. Like, I'm sure there's a variety of ones, but that, let's say that they're bad extraterrestrials. Then on the far right, we've got good ETs. And I've done a lot of channeling on this, and I do think that to some extent, I wouldn't say that it is a like a physical quarantine, but I think there's some aspect to which we are quarantined on this planet. And I think that can be in most ways, and I've actually done some work on this, that a lot of other, let's say, intelligent life forms and civilizations, they don't experience fear. Like, fear does not exist on their planet. And if you think about how fear can be passed on, when you're a little kid, think about like how you're just living your life. And like, fear is a learned behavior. You actually experience something and you're like, oh my God, like it catches you off guard. But then once you know what fear is, then you almost fear fear, right? Because now once you've experienced it, then everything in your life, your brain is trying to prevent that stimulus that made you feel fear. So then you almost get fearful of fear. Then it just keeps perpetuating. I think there are other civilizations out there that they don't want to have contact with us directly because they don't want that to spread like a virus in their civilization. Because they don't have fear. So if we were to bring a bunch of our people there and then we start acting the way we do and they've never even, you know, had a misunderstanding with somebody, like imagine what that would do ripple to their civilization. So let's say on the top right, there's some level of good ET where they'll send messages, channeling, whatever they can to help us elevate and overcome this, but without necessarily risking themselves. Because there does seem to be some sort of like protective buffer where it's like, they're not just going to come down here and be like, we're going to help you out. It's done, I think, in a slightly more passive way. So on the left-hand side, I've got, right, the bad ET. Then on the far right-hand side of the map, I've got the good ET. And I have kind of like a little bubble written around it that just says quarantine place, some sort of quarantine where we're kind of like stuck here to sort it on our own. And I do think that one of the main issues here that we face as a civilization is our pressing so hard into artificial intelligence. And I think that our move toward artificial intelligence is 100% aligned with the reptilian agenda. So up at the top here on the left-hand side underneath the bad ETs, I've got AI as kind of like the top pyramid. And then on the right, I feel like the opposite of that is spiritual intelligence, which is, I think, really at the core of what's being attacked with all of the things that are being done to us. They want to keep us out of our like spiritual technology, because I think we have gifts that are like, we can't even comprehend them right now because we've been kept with such a low consciousness intentionally. So I think, again, like on the top right, we've got spiritual intelligence. And I think that fear, you know, if you want to think about like ascension or us being able to move into a different vibration, which could, I believe, easily happen if all of our spiritual intelligence wasn't completely diminished and basically non-existent. So in this way, the number one block is fear. So fear is blocking any sort of ascension process that we could be going through. Versus the other side, their number one goal is fear because they feed off of fear. So we've got two things, again, that are at complete odds with each other. One side needs fear to basically disappear so that we can actually keep moving in the right direction. And the other one needs us to stay exactly in fear. So I have in the very center of this, on this like kind of top timeline, like it's almost like a battle between like artificial intelligence and spiritual intelligence. And if for some reason we're not able to wake enough people up and we don't pull our shit together, I genuinely see some sort of reset button being hit. Mm-hmm. So in the center, I have this kind of like asterisk that just says reset. And I don't know that I'm necessarily clear on necessarily who resets it. But I don't think that, you know, when you look just beyond like Earth, I don't think other civilizations want this to, they don't want us to allow the reptilian like dark agenda to win. That doesn't help anybody in the universe. So I do think that there's some level of reset that basically is just like, all right, they didn't pull their shit together this time. Let's reset and start from the beginning. So then I kind of have this hierarchy of all the different mechanisms that are built on each side to help either build fear and then kind of like the things that fund artificial intelligence versus on the right side, the things that help us really build our consciousness and build up our spiritual gifts and, you know, hopefully get us out of the place that we're in now. So I will, on the left side, I've got artificial intelligence as kind of a main bulk, and I have all the people that fund it, and not just people, but organizations. Then we've got mental health and learning disabilities and how all the different things feed into that. just to give you some that I have written down, we've got the prison system, the big pharma, media, war and politics, but also just kind of military industrial complex, the music industry, Hollywood, video games, our education system, food industry, vaccines, just in general, fluoride and things damaging our water and food supply. Then I feel like you've got the whole like UFO cover up, where it's like they want us to fear all things that are not human, when really like the stuff that they're showing us, they're putting it in plain sight. I think that's actually what they're working with to do the things that they do. Then just editing of history books, you know, the kind of very skewed perception we get of geography and physical exploration of our world, religion, belief systems, and then also just kind of in general, and Billy talks a lot about this, our understanding of the solar system is like very flawed. What we're taught is not at all accurate. He gave a whole lecture on, because he runs an organization that takes a look at space anomalies, and they you know have experts from all over just doing independent research and kind of submitting it so that they can start to pour through some of it. And like they've done research, they can see structures on, I believe it was Mars and Venus, or not Mars and Venus, Mercury and Venus, and was talking to us about how even like their oxygen levels there, actually they have more oxygen than we do, and that really on most parts of the surface, I believe it was of Mercury, it might be Venus, I can pour through the lecture slides, actually could easily sustain life, and they can see structures there. So I think there's a lot of that where it's like, and it goes back to inversion. Like, we'll show you this little bit and we're going to make you believe this is truth, when really like right in plain sight, they're hiding maybe like 90% of the rest of it, but they're basically just giving it to you. And we're like, we've made a consensus and this is how it is now. Just like eat it up. And then you'll start regurgitating it to everybody else. And then at the very bottom of the map, so kind of like, remember the top end caps are this like feeding fear and negative ET agenda versus moving out of fear and being able to really tap into our spiritual intelligence and hopefully have some sort of ascension or breakthrough. And then at the very bottom end caps on the left side, the dark side, we've got socialism, which to me is in opposition to utopia. Mm-hmm. Like any sort of place where we could get to a self-regulating society and genuinely be like spiritually free and supportive and growing our consciousness. To me, like socialism and how many people it's killed globally, and just like the tenets of socialism clearly aligns with the left versus then the right. And, you know, libertarianism is probably the closest word we have to it, because I don't really believe that it would be anarchy, but something that allows us to genuinely grow so much as humans and as conscious beings that we genuinely are able to make compassionate decisions without being told to make compassionate decisions. That's where I think that bottom end cap is on what we need to be focused on. And I think right now, if you were to just to kind of like look through this list, which I'll send it to you, and you look at how our world is set up, like everything is built to feed the left side of this map, and very little is built to feed the right side of the map.
Yeah. I want to touch base on a few things that you said, because it ties in very closely to my own sort of research, my own work of where I'm coming from with what my message is. And so you've got on your left side, you said, which is like the, let's just call it, yeah, the AI slash malevolent extraterrestrials. And then you said on the right side, you've got like the good extraterrestrials or the spiritual intelligence. And what the AI represents, so you've got AI, let's just break that down. So AI and then spiritual intelligence on one side. And what this reminds me of is kind of the last reset 12,000 years ago at the end of the Younger Dryas, when the Younger Dryas meteorite impact hit, sunk Atlantis. But what was happening before that? Well, Atlantis was at war. It was at war between quote-unquote AI, artificial intelligence, or people that are spiritually dead, robots, against the ones that were still spiritually pure. And then the war created a reset, and the reset was the downfall, like literally the onset of the great fall of man. And then it's taken us 12,000 years to recuperate, and now we're just entering the age of Aquarius, 2012, I think that was off. I think that was wrong. I think because of the Gregorian calendar, we're about 8 years off. So it means that 2020, December 21st, 2020 is the real December 21st, 2012, which is going to be the event, whatever you want to call it, the reset. So is something going to happen then that's going to be a mirror image of literally the polar opposite mirror image of what happened to Atlantis on the, because we're literally at the opposite end of the precessional age as we just entered the age of Leo back then when Atlantis sank into now moving into the age of Aquarius. Is something going to happen? Is there going to be another war of humanistic kind of spiritually dead people against the spiritually awakened, and that's going to be the new war for the coming age, and then the winner decides how humans how we evolve for the next half of the processional cycle. Is it going to be what's destiny plans, which is that we begin our ascent back up into the golden age, or do the bad guys win? Do the reptilians win?
I mean, I so part of, I think, the way my psychic gifts work is, and I believe this is the same for like any psychic, right? Whenever, let's say you were to go to a psychic reading and the person's legit, right? Because there's always the like, are they legit or not? But even if they're like the most legit person ever, they're only able to read the most likely timeline based on everyone's decision-making leaning in that moment, right? So then let's say that reading's over and then all of a sudden you decide, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to go do this other thing. And then another person's like, you know what? Fuck that. This is what I feel like doing, but I'm really going to do this, right? So then all of a sudden you've like fractured off of that timeline. So that psychic might appear to be wrong in that moment, but really when the psychic did the reading, it was right based on everyone's, where their brain was sitting in that moment. So I will see kind of our collective timeline shifts. So mm-hmm. I've seen things going very badly and then certain things will happen. And then I see kind of like a different version of that. And I can give you some examples of different things that I've seen over time. But so for instance, one of them, and this was maybe back in 2000, it was long before Obama got elected president. I would say maybe like 2005. When did Obama get elected? Does anyone remember? Do you know?
2008.
Okay. So I think it was like 2005.
Was it? And, oh, fuck, man. I don't know.
So 2005, I was living in Hawaii at the time. And in my dream, I remember waking up to everyone kind of like frantically freaking out in the kitchen. At the time, I lived literally on a commune in Hawaii. And everyone was kind of freaking out in the dream. And I remember just being like, what's going on? What's going on? And they were like, the president's making an announcement and like all the internet's down. And I was like, okay, what? And then I remember walking out on the ledge. We had my my mother-in-law at the time, Mayumi, she practiced hula a lot. And she like actually built this hula mound overlooking the ocean. It was like the most amazing spot of all time. So I remember walking out on the hula mound and all of a sudden there were two suns in the sky. So like one was a little bit darker orange than the other, but there were two suns in the sky. They were both sitting around the same position and looked maybe like, you know, when the sun is maybe 2 hours from going all the way down was kind of how the position looked. And this message kept coming up on the radio that was just kind of repeated all the time about how there was mass genocide of white people happening in the US. And I remember just hearing that. And then that was like my entire dream, right? So then, and in the dream, we had a black president. So then Obama gets elected and I was like, oh shit, everyone needs to pull it together and like not let that timeline happen because that's not a good timeline. But if you even just think about some of what's actually even started to happen in the last couple of years, you can see where there's this kind of like, which I understand, like I understand if we look at, you know, how certain people were like oppressed and disenfranchised, like I understand how some of those groups would be like, we want payback. But like, that's the whole problem here is that payback and retribution only makes the history repeat itself. It doesn't actually create a different future. And you can see even now that there's this kind of, you know, like in South Africa, a lot of the black people have been empowered to go take their land back through physically killing some white farmers and families. And it's really brutal and the news won't cover it. So there is clearly this like consciousness shift to like, right now they want people to be kind of bolstered in their like retribution and their anger and their hurt and like want action to be taken there when that's, in my opinion, like if from a consciousness perspective, that's the, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. It's like the most basic lesson of all time. Like, we need to, in my opinion, it's a Hawaiian concept of Ho'oponopono, where you basically need to like collectively acknowledge how everybody's been wronged without letting that influence your future decision making. So that was one of them. And I think that you can see even aspects of that present today, where it's like, sure, we didn't go quite that far into like, you know, mass white genocide, although that is happening in South Africa. But there's definitely this like, this note in the US right now where it's like, not okay to be a white person. And you're able to basically like hate white people publicly and not have any, like, that's somehow not racism. Like, that is a really bizarre twist that I don't think a lot of people saw coming. And then they can't even talk about it, because if you talk about how odd that is, then they tell you that you're a racist for basically not just like, you know, they tell you that you're like, what have people told me? That's just your white fragility.
That's your white privilege.
That's my white privilege. To which, you know, I had to basically, and I've had to have this conversation a few times before, this is how twisted that gets away from a, like a real truth, like the kind of truth that you feel in your stomach. My whole family's Jewish, escaped during the Holocaust, like some were actually in concentration camps. And Jews, for instance, were trying, they tried to eradicate them off of the face of the earth for not being part of the white master race. So how then can Jews now be that of white privilege, especially considering that, like, even, you know, Jews still have a bad reputation, like in general, Jews still have a bad reputation. My dad was the first Jew to ever go to an East Coast boarding school in the United States. And that was like a big fucking deal. And that was in the late '60s. Like, we're, so to kind of just try to say that just based on skin color, all of these other things exist, I think it's just it's a flawed and dangerous place for us to be operating. But you can see how, you know, what I saw was one side of the spectrum, which is, you know, that was way before 2012, which I'll get into in a second. But that was kind of one place that I think collectively as a timeline we could have headed. And thankfully, we didn't head that place. But you can still see where, like, now based on other conscious beings awakening, like, we still kind of have little elements of that in our society right now. In line with the 2012 thing, and this is something that I've spoken about pretty recently, I think 2012, and Billy actually talked about this in one of his lectures too, and like kind of how our perception of time is kind of flawed when we look at some of these prophecies, like you were saying with the Gregorian calendar. I think actually 2012, just the fear of what if something was going to happen, I think actually served us really well as a society. They, for whatever reason, the powers that be let a ton of information get out there about 2012, maybe because they thought it would put people into fear. But the irony is that I think people leveled up their consciousness to prevent what they thought was going to happen. So instead of it just being fear of the event, people actually, for whatever reason, took that as a moment to wake up. And I think enough of our consciousness shifted in, like, to try to prevent an outcome like that, that we actually were able to somehow like course correct for a little while. So I think that somehow it shifted our timeline enough, just because enough people were like, you know what, maybe this is real. And maybe I do need to do a little bit more like deeper spiritual work and wrestle with some of my thoughts about what, you know, what life means and some of my deeper existential questions. So I do think that in some ways it was a large awakening for people, and it might've made just enough of a difference to get us shifted back toward a collective timeline that actually is beneficial for humanity. And I think, you know, the way I always describe it is like, I think if we look at how all of our consciousness connects to each other, there is, like, I believe, one optimal timeline for all of our consciousness connected, right? Now, we have many deviations, especially when you start to look at like string theory and things like that. Like, every, you know, at different levels, there are infinite decisions you can make with infinite start positions and infinite end positions, etc. So I almost look at it as like our collective consciousness in their optimal timeline is this, like, imagine like a magnet that's underneath the ground that you can't see it, but we all kind of have this moment of collective acknowledgement when we feel ourselves snap back onto it. And then little by little, we make these little decisions and we kind of get, you know, infinite possibilities away from each other. And then somehow I think there are certain moments where we line back up again and we feel that moment of clicking and acknowledgement. I like to look at these as, you know, maybe moments of deja vu or things like that, where it's almost like rememory, where you're like, whoa, weird. It's enough of a remembrance that you you're conscious of it, and it makes you, I call it reality vertigo. It gives you that moment where it's like you almost can't talk. To me, those are the moments where we feel ourselves click back onto that magnetic track. And I think the more we can try to get each other, you know, get the collective woken at the same time to get back on this magnetic track, that's where I think we do end up defeating some of the, like, the negative ET agenda on the left. But I've seen a variety of different ways this goes about. From, you know, I've had one vision of being in a, like, a regular house, but with, like, what I perceived in the moment was basically like this fake staged extraterrestrial battle, like almost like in Independence Day, where it's like I had a piece of like a peace of mind or calm where I was like, they're trying to make us believe that this is happening, but this isn't really what's happening the way they're projecting it to us. And I remember
Project Blue Beam.
Huh?
Project Blue Beam. That's the one, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, and in this dream, there's definitely like a sense of urgency because it's me and one other person and my daughter. And I don't know where my son or anybody else was in this moment. But remember, like, there's an urgency, like we have to go right now, but there's only a bicycle and there's one other adult and then my daughter. And I remember being very calm and just being like, you guys go, like, I'm going to be okay. And I remember literally just like standing there looking at everything. And like, literally the projection just like dropped and I could see through it and I could see what was actually going on. I just remember sitting there laughing. Because you literally, like, if you can really, and that's basically, like, I think the consciousness has layers, right? And Billy talks about it in one of the lectures that he gave at Waking the Collective about really, like, your brain is perceiving holograms, basically, based on information that's going up to the brain, and the brain is basically projecting it to your eyes so that that's what you see. And as we start to dig deeper into our consciousness and take away some of the elements that are keeping it suppressed, I think we would start to see things very differently than the average person sees them. And that was one of those moments where I was able to just kind of like go into my consciousness and collect it. And I was able to almost like see it like glitch and see through what was actually happening. And I was like, okay, we are okay. Even though it felt like on a very human level, it was a very intense moment. I remember just being calm about letting my daughter go on this bicycle and being like, we're going to be all right. Anyways, I think, you know, the more we can all wake up and do all of the, take all the necessary steps to try to keep our consciousness from being impeded, you know, get ourselves back to some level of like psychological and physical sovereignty, which I don't think people realize that we don't have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is the issue. That should be, to me, like the number one goal is like, if we can get ourselves to a place where we are sovereign in our own body, our problem solving skills are going to be exponential to what they are now. And that's one of the main things that's being impeded. So anything that helps us get that back, I think should be tip top priority.
Yeah, for sure. I'm totally on board with you, Busy. Like, this is what my Primal Alchemy brand is about. I mean, I haven't got much of a presence over in the States at the moment, but I will be making an appearance soon just to get the brand known, to get my name known. And it's all about what I call like superhuman optimizations, like physical, mental, spiritual optimization. So I've got my line of health supplements that I make. I've got the podcast. I've got the coaching plans that I do as well. And it's really what it's about. It's about initiating people into their own hero's journey. I don't know if you're familiar with Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey, the whole process of self-actualization. It's all about, at the end of the day, the central teaching of all of these ancient civilizations, which I've studied for a long time, I know Billy has as well, save yourself, save the world. And that's how we're going to do it. You, like you said, you need each person to wake up on an individual level. And this is one crucial point within the hero's journey, which I'm going to tie into something you said just a minute ago, is the death rebirth part of the journey, which can be seen through multiple mythologies of the ancient world. And you can see it within Hollywood, within films like Star Wars and Harry Potter, The Hunger Games, all that shit. It's the spiritual death, no, the death and rebirth is a massive part of the hero's journey. And what you were referring to about some sort of event, some mm-hmm. sort of what I don't know what that event's going to be, but I feel like that's going to be the death rebirth of us as a collective whole. So although we're going to have it on an individual level of going through that whole process of realization of what we truly are, I feel like when we do that to the point that is necessary, we're going to go through a collective event, which is going to initiate us into the galactic level, or on initiate us into the, yeah, into the higher realms, into the higher states of consciousness. And I don't know what that event's going to be. Is it going to be something that's, is it going to be a cosmic event? Is it going to be something on ground level here on Earth where there's like a last stand? I mean, we know now that there's a lot of shit going on behind the scenes, thanks to the Trump administration. Like, people like to hate on Trump and call him a wanker and shit like that. And they kind of abuse him every way they can, media left, right, and center. But behind the scenes, there's some legitimate good work going on, and work that people are just not aware of unless they follow it closely and they follow QAnon and they understand how to decipher those codes and read between the lines and see what's happening behind the scenes. And then you've got whistleblowers, you've got like Corey Good, you've got David Wilcock, who just come out with that Beyond Majestic documentary, which is great for anyone who's interested. You've got you guys over in the States. I mean, although you get tarnished with a bad brush from the rest of the world, it is kind of on your shoulders. It's like, it, you guys are the you're the pivotal factor within this, of what direction we go in. There's so many of you that are asleep, but at the same time, there's so many of you that are awakening, and it's interesting to see from the UK, to watch it sort of unfold, because everything that happens in the States has a ripple effect that affects us a few months or years down the line. So I'm really trying to put the UK back on the map, trying to put the UK, just make the UK aware, because at the end of the day, UK is powerful as fuck. It might not be
to an extent, you guys are in a more precarious position right now than we are. Like, your free speech is getting so squashed that people are getting like genuinely hauled off to jail for like Twitter fights. That's a very, very dangerous place to be.
Yeah, the UK is completely lost at the moment. We're going through our own sort of turmoil, and we're going through our own trials and tribulations with the whole Brexit ordeal. You've got the powers that be that are in that are over in Europe and Brussels that don't want to let go of us because they know what force we can be.
When you start really digging into the negative ET agenda and the reptilians, it goes right back to your royal family.
Yeah, the evil fucks. Oh god, man, don't get me started on those pieces of shit.
Their eyes are not okay. They're you can see it, and they have this. Queen Elizabeth has the same eyes as the Pope, and there's some dark ass shit there. That is not the way eyeballs are supposed to look
God, I remember like when it was like the royal wedding, and my mum and dad were sat down watching it, and they were like, "Oh, doesn't she look nice?" And I was like, "You fucking know what they're doing? Like, do you have any fucking idea what these fucking criminals? They should be locked up, these sick bastards." And then, yeah, people still look at them today as in like, they love watching the Queen's speech at Christmas when she does a little, she comes on and does like a little speech when she's on her high horse, golden throne, telling about how we need to end poverty.
Holistic, and they need people's attention in those moments, and it's really terrible. Yeah. And you know, I think a lot of people, when they start to hear certain aspects of this, they want to freak out and run away, and I totally understand that. I unfortunately grew up exposed to some of it firsthand, so as soon as pieces started to come together, I was like, oh shit, like I can't personally run from this because I've seen this with my own eyes. I've been privy to it. I've met all of these people. It's actually real.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it's devastatingly real, and people need to wake up immediately. When you look at the ties between, let's say, the Clinton Foundation, who's gotten in trouble for trafficking kids, and then who's in charge of running the child trafficking hotline, like, you can't run from that. You can't unknow that.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's so true, and all it takes is a little bit of research into it. And it's for anyone that's interested, you need to search up the royal family's visit into the Kalum's orphanage school in Canada. I can't remember the exact date of it, but essentially the Queen and Prince Philip, the fucking Queen and King lizards, they went over to Canada and visited this orphanage, and then they took like 50 or so kids.
just to, yeah, go off with them. And then those kids never returned and they were never heard of again. And shit like that happens all the time. That's why there's a massive child trafficking ring in the world. And it's to feed these dark forces. And people don't like to talk about it. They just let that go over their head. It's like, oh, it's not true. No, there's no proof for that. There fucking is proof for that. There's proof everywhere. Yeah, and something about myself as well, like people that listen to this know that this is my background. I was initiated into Freemasonry when I was 18, and I was because I was pursuing that for the sort of esoteric wisdom that they kind of sit on but that have no idea about. But I witnessed firsthand some shady shit. I'm not in the sort of upper echelons where I would be sort of invited into like the real evil shit, but I seen some things here and there that I was like, man, I was only 18 at the time, obviously, so it was like a bit hard for an 18-year-old to call these guys out. But I was looking at it, I was like, right, I fucking remember that. And one day my power position would be different, and I'm gonna fucking get you guys. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you see it a lot, and there is it's hidden in plain sight. Like, have you seen Celine Dion's new
clothing line?
Yeah. Oh man, it's fucking terrible. And it's like people just look at that and be like, "Gosh, she's so talented. She can design clothes and she can sing." And it's like, do you fucking know what that symbolizes? Do you have any idea like how they're just rubbing it in your face? And God, yeah, busy. Yeah. I didn't go off on this.
Really, it's really dark. People don't want to acknowledge it because it would be a domino effect, right? They can't acknowledge one piece of it without acknowledging the next and the next and the next, because they're all interconnected and it freaks people out. And I get it. But everyone, especially like if you have kids and you give any shits whatsoever about what the future holds for those kids, you have to be brave enough to go do the research. You just do. And you have to use your discernment to not get trapped in this inversion. Because, for instance, right? Let's look at Celine Dion's clothing line. I have friends that are transgender. I understand how challenging that path is to walk, right? Like, we need to have compassion for everyone, wherever they are. But that doesn't mean that you capitalize on someone's individual pain and you're like, oh, now we're going to create this fucking satanic ass clothing line and talk about lead in with it being gender neutral. All you're doing is you're capitalizing on someone else's individual pain. You're making a large social issue out of it, but then you're backing it with satanic rituals so that you can let people get fueled by the injustice of like how sad it must be to be a transgender person in today's world, and then get them to buy into this gender neutral clothing line. It's inversion at its best. You can feel compassion for an individual without letting that individual's issue become the platform for satanic ritual. And I think that is where people have a hard time. It's like, I use this example too, when it comes to, you know, one of the things we really talked about at Waking the Collective, and by the way, I'll share all the video content with you, because we went through a whole exercise of really digging in and saying like, what are the core issues? Like, what is really going on behind the scenes? And if we look at what's going on, like a human body that has multiple potentially lethal wounds, what is the order that we have to repair these wounds, to restore blood supply, to restore energy, to, you know, to think about the different compartments of it so that we can heal the entire organism? Let's go back with the transgender issues again, right? Like, would it be great if all transgender people could feel, you know, comfortable and accepted and loved and be able to have their own bathrooms that make them feel safe? Like, in a perfect world, that sounds like, if that makes you happy, then that makes me happy. But if we look at individual areas of the country, for instance, that are plagued with poverty and homelessness and high levels of mental illness, and we're just trying to get them to restart their economy and build small businesses, do we want to then slap them with a mandate that says every single one of those people has to then build a transgender bathroom? This is where we get ourselves all fucked up. No, we can't actually help this person, this group's economy build up if we're slapping them with all these other like social justice taxes. Instead, why don't you go out there and like go befriend someone that's transgender, ask them what their life has been like. There's a way to address it on the individual level without letting the powers that be twist up these individual issues and then actually build them into something that allows us to all be turned against each other. Because like, that would be great, but we have to look at it piecemeal. We've got to restore financial vitality. Then we've got to like restore, make sure that no one in that area is dealing with like homelessness and poverty and like not being able to get food. Then, okay, then let's address some of these other issues that have more to do with it, like individual identity. Like once everyone's all good and eating and fine and people are financially thriving, then if we still have the need to be creating transgender bathrooms, that sounds like a good time to address it. But to address it when people are immersed in poverty and homelessness, and like just if you just look at humans without any other identities on top of that, if just human beings are suffering and don't have food and water, etc., like that's not the time.
Yeah, I just feel like that it's just another distraction. It's like there's blacks v whites, men v female, and then they've just thrown in another category into the mix of transgenderism, and there's so many things just to separate us, to divide us, which then just makes us easily conquerable. And it's working for them, or it seems to be working for them at the moment. We're more divided as ever, and our priorities are not in alignment with where they really need to in order to start making some progression as a collective whole. And it's just so many agendas out there. There's so many so many corporations pushing their agendas, the private interest groups. Like you said, the military industrial complex, you've got fucking Washington, you've got the city of London here, you've got the Vatican, all of these shady, malicious organizations that are just completely in it to keep their power. They don't want to see it. They've had it since Babylon. They've had it fucking dating back to probably back in pre-antediluvian times. They probably had a good grasp of the planet, and yeah, they don't want to see that shit slide. So when they know that an important time within human history is upon us, when we're going to begin to awake and we're beginning to get our spiritual sovereignty back, they need to up their game. They need to start really sort of turning up a few gears and making sure that we stay in fucking line. And if we don't, then shit, the monkeys are gonna pay. They're gonna start coming in hard on us. I think there's gonna be a retaliation, because they are getting destroyed behind the scenes, but I feel like something is coming, and sort of coming is probably what you're referring to with your dream.
Yeah, and I think you kind of touched on it for sure. You know, people love to hate Trump, but you can't bury your head in the sand and not see that he is actively in there trying to eradicate the very entities that we're talking about. It's clear as crystal. And that's why the media and everyone wants to portray this very opposite picture. Again, you need only look for inversion to see when this negative ET agenda is involved, because that's the easiest way to find it. And, you know, even we were kind of like, we touched on the Pope, for instance, and when you start to kind of dig into that, to me, that aspect of how religion is portrayed, like that to me is the inversion of Christianity. Like whatever Jesus, if he was trying to get everyone to kind of go within and find that the path to heaven is like within themselves, I feel like the Pope and Catholicism is definitely like the inversion of that. They try to lead in with that. But if you look at even any of just the visuals in the Vatican and like where the Pope gives his talks, you can see that huge reptilian, the whole dome of that is
a reptilian. Yeah, when you can see it, can't you? It looks like the shape of a fucking reptilian head.
And see that the Vatican owns a large telescope here. Its name is Lucifer. It's documented. This shit is in plain sight. It's not arguable. It really isn't. You can either try to go into denial and just not look at it and then just, you know, kind of cover your ears and start yelling about how crazy everybody is, or you can just wake up and dig into your courage and go do some of the research, and don't look away until you've put all the pieces together.
I have a question for you, Busy, because I know that we kind of overran the time a little bit, so I don't want to keep you for too much longer than if you have got plans for the rest of the day, but I do want your opinion on something. What do you think of Antarctica?
Ooh, okay. Well, so I think there's a lot going on down there. I think there's clear evidence that there is some sort of like extraterrestrial base, if not city, if not civilization under Antarctica. And you can see it doesn't make any sense that would be the one place in the entire part of the globe that all of a sudden everyone would be like, here, we're going to have a treaty. Like everywhere else, we're going to fight about everything, but here we're all going to put our flags and we're just going to like agree to not talk about it. Mm. I think that alone is suspect. The fact that that's one of the very first places that Hitler wanted to go is also suspect. There's tons of accounts of what's going on in Antarctica. You can see the pyramids.
I've seen some of the pyramids down there. I've been down there. I've been down to the outer, like the outskirts of where the public are allowed to go. And I've seen some of the mountains, the mountain ranges down there. And there's definitely pyramids down there. I've seen it with my own eyes. And
another thing is like, why is that the one place in the world that you will literally get imprisoned if you go somewhere without, you know, like a perimeter, like outside of the perimeter of where you're supposed to go? It's too highly secretive a place with too many people agreeing to keep it quiet to have it not be hiding something massive, in my opinion.
There's loads of theories. There's loads of theories that it's like, it's the ice sheets are covering like a long lost ancient land. There's theories that it's the entrance to the inner earth. There's theories that the elites have been stationed down there because there's like cryo chambers of what they call like the Adamites, their sort of their ancestors, and they're waiting for them to wake up so they can reclaim their sort of throne on here on Earth. There's loads of different theories, and it is interesting, but like just throwing all those conspiracies aside, you don't even have to be conspiracy minded to know that something fishy is going on down there. Like I used to work on a cruise ship, and we went down there, and I was down there for 2 weeks, and even though I was on the outskirts, I was still in Antarctica. And at night, there was some interesting shit. Like, I would go up onto the top deck and just kind of just sitting, just collect my thoughts, but kind of just gaze into the distance. And there was things that if you were just a normal person, you would have looked at and just played it off in your head as in, like, yeah, that's weird. But for me, I was like, shit's got, what's that, like, what's that moving over there? It's like there's like lights and just like kind of like, yeah, just like I guess like UFO activity around there, which would make sense because obviously that's where the Nazis did a lot of their research with the SS Bell and all of that sort of shit down there. But I was just interested to know what your thoughts are on it, because a lot of people are kind of kept in the dark, and especially within the conscious community, I feel like Antarctica is a big it's a big point for us to sort of look into, and we should be actively questioning and asking, like, what the hell are you guys doing down there? Like, why is it that it's the only place in the world where it's like all these countries have like a peace agreement down there, and they all, and
that to me should be, that's like the number one reason I always give for why clearly something's going on down there, because that doesn't happen. Like, wherever you see the anomaly, you know that there's something going on there. Like, people don't just all of a sudden agree, like, okay, this is the one place on Earth we'll keep the peace and we'll all put our flags at the same time. There's obviously a lot going on there. I think there's a lot to a variety of the theories, but I definitely think that there is some sort of civilization under there that, you know, might even, like, currently be active. And I think there, you know, if you even look at, When we think about people like channeling or writing, like, there, I genuinely believe that we almost don't have it within our capability to write something or think something that doesn't exist at some level, right? So many people have written about these concepts of inner earth. They're talked about in a lot of different ways, and even like ancient texts and stuff. So there's got to be something to that. And in a few of my dreams, I've been taken to what just feels like the deepest place ever. Like, it just feels like I'm so far underground that even just thinking, like, recalling the memory now makes me feel claustrophobic. I just remember getting taken to a place that existed so far under the ground. And I remember seeing, like in a museum where you see kind of like the dioramas, you know, where it like kind of shows a, like a recreation of it. And they've got like the fake sunlight and the fake trees and everything. Mm-hmm. In these visions, we're in the hallways, you can see outside, but you see that it's like almost it's not like a real outside. And the sense that I got in my mind was that it was like light being projected in there so that people that weren't used to being down there wouldn't go crazy or get depressed. So it like felt like you were outside, but it was very clear that it wasn't real. You just kind of were looking at something pretty that looked like fake sunlight, but that it was so clear I was deeply under the ground. And the beings that were there definitely looked, somewhat in, like, looked kind of angelic, but definitely did not have a, they were like kind of genderless and looked a little bit angelic, but were very clearly like not angelic. They were just glowy. And the more I've kind of gone back and done research on that, that's apparently what the Nordics look like. And the Nordics were apparently working very closely with Hitler. So even though they might appear to some as being, you know, good, I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest that they might actually be the ones that are in Antarctica underneath the ice.
Were the Nordics working with Hitler? Were they working with Maria, what's she called, Oglovich from the Vril Society?
So her from the Vril Society, Hitler scared her into compliance, right? They basically like threatened her into compliance, yeah. But supposedly Hitler was working with the Nordics and Maria was channeling information on how to build those crafts. And then they were all working with them together.
Interesting.
But Maria was, because this is something that they talked about at the Waking the Collective event, that she was basically threatened into compliance, or basically was like, as long as you feed all of your information to us, we'll leave you alone.
What's your opinion on Hitler?
God.
I know that's a rabbit hole to go down itself.
Like, oh, yeah, no, you're like, let's end this with God, I don't know that of all the things that I've looked into and checked in with my gut on, that's not a topic that I feel like I've checked in with that much, but there are a lot of aspects of what we're told about him and what he was doing that don't actually make a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of aspects of the story that feel very in conflict with each other. And I think if you were to, you know, it depends on what lens you're trying to look at it. I think, you know, perhaps there was some aspect that started off as like a curiosity of the occult and power. And like, maybe it started off as something where it was like, he just wanted some of the answers that maybe even we're seeking right now. And then he somehow got inundated with being given answers or technology, but at a very severe cost, which is kind of where I land on it.
Yeah.
Where it's like, sometimes, you know, curiosity has a cost, and it depended on how far he was willing to go with that. And if, you know, the entities or, you know, ETs that he was basically getting knowledge and power from were demanding that he do all these other things, and he was that curious, then perhaps that's what happened. But clearly, like, he created fear factories. So there's that aspect too, if you look at the kind of negative ET agenda with the concentration camps and just all of that, and like the experimentation and all that, it's like some real dark shit.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
What do you think about Hitler?
I'm mixed. I'm mixed in looking into his heritage. Was he who he was made out to be? Did he have connections with the Rothschilds? Did he die? Did he go off to South America, down in Argentina? And then there's a lot of interesting information about him, and we just aren't going to know. Like, all the information that were presented by the winners of the war, and the winners of the war, which we call the Allied Forces, wasn't really the Allied Forces. It was the Rothschilds, the Deep State, whatever you want to call them back then. They were the real winners, and we know they were funding both sides. And then I think Hitler got a little bit, I think he stepped on their feet a little bit, and they were like, yeah, that's a bad decision, Adolf. So the thing is, you fucked up and now you're going to pay. And I feel like he faked his death and went off to South America. And I think, lived out his life out there on the down low. But I think there's a lot of stuff that we're told about him that's simply just a lie. I think he's painted in a certain way. I'm not saying that he wasn't evil. Like, he's evil as fuck. But I just think there's a lot of stuff about him that is heavily exaggerated in his character. But we're never going to know. Like, you're not going to, like, you, I'm just, yeah, you're not going to know. You can read as much about him as you want, but not gonna know. I just wondering what your opinion was on him, because everything's connected, as you know, Busy. It's like you said.
Yeah, I feel like the one place that so when you start to look at some of the, you know, the primary bloodlines and things like that, right? There's definitely some evidence to suggest that one of the bloodlines is pretending to be Jewish, but is not actually Jewish, right? Have you looked into the kind of like
The Khazarian bloodline? So that's where we're going to get today's sort of Rothschilds and some of those.
So yeah, and part of me wonders if really what originally he was trying to take out was that lineage, and then ended up just kind of making it like a global taking out of the Jews thing.
Yeah,
it's hard to say, but you know, I think some of the research I've done, it looks like perhaps originally it was like trying to eradicate this very dark Khazarian bloodline, while obviously there was like collateral damage to that. And obviously, you know, like my family personally was like affected by that. But I think to me, that's one of those things where like the truth is the truth, and whatever has happened to you or your family cannot be the lens with which you go look at the truth.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Such a good point.
So you almost have to kind of take off all of that stuff intentionally and go in and be like, okay, well, you know, and like play, you know, everyone uses the term like play devil's advocate. Like I'm sure Hitler, let's be honest, like he did heinous evil things and let heinous evil things happen to many, many people. But let's say you like go into your research and you're like, okay, what if just like the what if jumping off point is what if we were not told the truth about Hitler, right? What if that's just the lens that you start doing the digging? Like you might go into that and be like, oh, well, all evidence kind of points to the fact that we were actually being told the truth, right? Like that could happen or something else could happen. But there needs to be some level of like openness and flexibility with which you go into at least the research process, being mindful of your personal biases and how that's going to affect how you're looking at the information. You know, like even if I was like just thinking about the Hitler conversation, I can think of, you know, the last conversation I had with my grandmother. She was going in for surgery and I think she kind of knew that she might die in surgery. And she was just like wanting to have one chat with me. And she was like, you know, my dying wish is that you raise your children Jewish. Like we just, we sacrificed so much to be Jewish, like promise me you're going to keep that going with your kids. You know, so there's like that kind of, you know, that aspect of it where it's like, of course, even like having these conversations, it's like my grandmother's voice in my head being like, remember to raise your kids Jewish, you know, that's like kind of guilt trip thing, which, you know, I think there's a lot. I understand what she was trying to do in passing that on. And ironically, the next day I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. But you still have to be willing to take off that priming to go do research, right? Like if a lot of the research I've done ends up at some point implicating family members of mine, and like that's had to happen to me where I'm like, oh God, I know this person, I know that person. And the more I go down like the Q rabbit hole, like I know half the people on there. I've met so many of them, like that's my family is implicated. So like, that's a hard one for me, but I know that it's a blessing that I'm able to go into that and be like, okay, this is really fucking scary, but it's definitely true. And the webs that these people are putting together are absolutely true. So I'm grateful that I have like, in that way, I feel like I have less of a, it's easier for me to dig into it because it, like, even though it's painful, like I don't have to, I have personal experience that makes my body remember that it's true. So yeah, to anyone that's listening, you know, just go, it's important to do the research. People have to know about the stuff so that we can start to wake people up and get ourselves out of the path that we're heading. Cause it's really a dangerous path.
Yeah, it's history repeating itself over and over until we learn our lesson. And yeah, I think we're tied up on that one, Busy, because I said that you only had an hour and we've kind of gone for like an hour and a half. So I don't want to keep you around for any longer. And yeah, really, thank you for coming on. And a bit of a different path of the conversation than I thought it was going to go originally. But shit, this is my bread and butter. This is what I love. Even though the Primal Alchemy brand, like I said, is all about that physical, mental, spiritual optimization shit. Deep down at heart, I was one of those guys that was balls deep in conspiracies from a young age. So I love bringing back my youthful days in talks like this.
Well, and what you just described, like all of that stuff, when we're talking about the ways that you can create physical, emotional, and spiritual sovereignty, like those are the pathways. Like how you choose to move your body, how you choose to feed your body, how like the thoughts you choose to allow into your mind, like that is the work. That is how you maintain sovereignty. But you also have to know what you're fighting against so that you're able to bob and weave when you need to bob and weave. So
yeah,
do all of those things. Those are all critical. And then also don't shy away from the waking up part.
Yeah, and it's all part of the same package. Like, the thing with conspiracy culture itself is that it just presents you with a lot of doom and gloom, really. And I know you're doing it yourself, you're putting in the work, and there are others, and it's what I'm really trying to do is to empower ourselves. Like, this is much more than just like you said, like a superhuman optimization brand. This is about building an army of light warriors, essentially. Yeah. Like, this is much more than anyone could comprehend. Like, I know what my path is, I know what my destiny is, and I know what we need to do, and I know that I need to wake people up, and I need to equip people with what they need to, so that we can rise against these pieces of shit and reclaim our consciousness, reclaim our sovereignty of just being humans, being what a real human is, which is a spiritual source of spirit that's locked into our third dimensional avatars to learn, grow, and evolve. And we're being kept from doing that. And for me, that's my life mission in order to get this message out there. But it's important that as much as you present people with the truth, which is dark as fuck, is to then equip them with their tools of light in order to combat it. So I know that you're doing the exact same stateside busy, and that's why I wanted to get in touch with you and contact you and have you on the show. And I feel destiny plays out as it should. And we've gone from what I thought was going to be a conversation or discussing some more subtle things to just going deep down the rabbit hole on this one, which has been great. Yeah.
Yeah. And I definitely will be introducing you to all those people. And then for anyone that's interested, we are, and maybe we can even have you come fly out and speak. We're doing another Waking the Collective event in May. We're going to be announcing the dates pretty soon.
Yep.
You can go to workpsych.com.
Lizzie, don't do this to me. You don't understand, like, the big, like, grin on my face. Jesus, I can... Yes, I would. We can talk about this off air as well. And I would love to. I can go deep into, like, simulation theory, into the processional ages, into everything. And then even some of the stuff like that's more sort of digestible for most, which is I actually know quite a lot about exercise, nutrition, about stuff that's actually practical and doable for people to really upgrade their avatar and shit like that. It's just, yeah, fuck, man, I'm excited. Yo.
The goal for all of these events is to, especially this next one, we're having amazing, like, conscious musicians and DJs come. So it's going to be like one part rave, one part lecture content. We're going to be having food. And our goal is to really make waking people up an experience that's enjoyable, but also, like, feel supportive, where you can connect with the community. Because when you start to wake up, it can feel really scary to, like, you feel very alone, and a lot of people want to turn against you. So how can we wake people up en masse and equip them with the right tools to care for their, like you said, your 3D avatar, but also be equipped with tools to go wake up other people and also have fun doing it? So that's what we're doing with those events. And then I also run something called Break Method, which is really, like, my main focus, which is an emotional repatterning program. So I teach people, it's in a 4-month course. There's about 80 hours of lecture content where I basically teach people to remove all of their socialized and parented fear program so that they can actually regain their emotional sovereignty. So those are kind of the main things that I focus on. And I would absolutely love to extend an invitation for you to come speak at our event in May.
Yes. Yes. It's my birthday then as well. I fucking would love that birthday. Damn. All right, Busy. Let's call this one a night then on this episode. Thanks for coming on. This episode turned out way better than I could ever imagine. I love it. I love it when we unearth shit like that. So guys, hopefully you enjoyed it. Little bit different one for you, and equally as important, from all the topics that we've been discussing in previous episodes, it all ties into this. Everything's connected. And that's the whole point of this podcast, is to really show you guys experts within different fields that can really tie together and unify this sort of new spiritual outlook in life in order to really help you become the hero of your own journey. And that's what we're trying to do here. So yeah, Busy, thanks for coming on. That's episode 24. Fuck, episode 24 already. All right, guys, stay woke as fuck, and I'll see you on the next episode.